website. Welcome to the Commerce Talks podcast, guest number 5 today. We also met at the dinner yesterday, and you're running the company called Makacy. I learned it somehow in the fashion business, but you will get a bit more into detail within your introduction. Please introduce yourself and tell us what Makacy is doing.
Thank you very much, Alex, for having me. And I really enjoyed the dinner last night. Makacy is basically fashion production on demand. We're trying to solve a problem that a lot of fashion designers who are coming into the business, into the industry, but really no real production power. We want to help them create their designs, source fabric, accessories, and throughout the whole process, really make them be in the know exactly what we're doing, how we purchase the fabric, cutting it, sewing it, shipping it, making their lives easier. That's the problem we're trying to solve.
So can you guide me through just the customer journey, like for the producers? So how do they find you and what do you do, like step by step?
It's a very interesting industry. I mean, it had around 200 years of evolution, you know, the sewing machine and people approaching seamstresses because they wanted to make their dresses faster. And that evolved over the years to include more machinery. So the tailor shop was actually born because they wanted to make people's lives easier. And almost until 30 years ago, when fast fashion started putting all these, filling up all the retail places and really disrupted the market. But throughout our human history, everybody was approaching tailors to create their loved garments and traditional dresses, etc. That's what we're trying to get back, but at ease. We want to make it easier. Fulfill the dress that you have in mind. Get your the image you have for that tailored suit, and we can fulfill it. So how it works is they approach us with that, with a sketch or a picture from Pinterest and they upload it on the app, and they exactly tell us when exactly they want it. And they add in all the description of the fabric. They wanted 100% cotton, et cetera, et cetera. And then that order turns into a chat.
But these are like designers that are reselling these things, or are these like end consumers like I am?
Let's say, Alex, you're a fashion designer and you're brilliant at it, and you have a great, you've created like 3-4 styles. You want to make them happen, right? So you have a fixed image of the dresses and the trousers and whatever you're making. You communicate that to us through the platform, and then we communicate back to you what we understood, and we reach an agreement to tell you what exactly can happen and when it can be done. And when you receive it, we ship it to you. You're the label owner. You then margin it up, put it on Amazon.
But minimum slot size is 1.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, people can do samples. But obviously, when you purchase one...
And without you in the middle, how would have done the designer this process before? Would he have gone, like, to a Pakistani factory saying, okay, can you produce this kind of garment for me? How would have been done?
Yeah, I mean, it's a struggle because, like I said, the niche market we're focusing on, they're, you know, they haven't made it. They've made 0 collections or 1 collect or 2 collections. So they don't have the volume to pick up the phone or send an email to a Bangladeshi or a Vietnam-based or a Chinese factory, because those obviously have to have volume to make it happen for them. So historically, I mean, the past 30, 40 years, they approached a lot of Polish, a lot of Ukrainian, a lot of Hungarian mini factories who can fulfill that kind of capsules and collection size. We're talking about 50 to 100. If it was 1 to 50 styles in a collection, they had to go downtown Milan, downtown Paris, and convince a tailor to make them feasible prices, which is not existent. It's extremely expensive.
And how do you do it?
So we're based in Amman, Jordan. And Amman, Jordan has a great trade agreement with EU, almost custom-free, as well as with North America. And that's why most of the garment labels around the world, like Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, etc., they manufacture in Jordan. So by definition, we are living in a country that has very low cost of production. And the infrastructure helps us as well. So we save a lot on price. So it's a kind of arbitrage for the designers and the fashion entrepreneurs in Europe and North America, even in the Far East, to manufacture with us. It still makes a lot of economical sense. We do it by, we have our own machines, and we also outsource to other production hubs, because the world of manufacturing garment is so big and so diverse. People who make shirts only make shirts, and pants and vests and jackets and blazers, etc. Each one of those, we have appointed a production hub that can fulfill quite a quality.
But those production hubs you have like connected in your app are then most likely are located in Jordan, though you're not connecting to Vietnam or Portuguese or to other facilities.
For now, it's only Jordanian companies.
Ah, I didn't know that. I knew obviously that like in Southeast Asia, there's a lot of like production capabilities. China, obviously, some of the some companies are like sourcing in Portugal or Romania or so, but I didn't know that Jordan is like a big fabric.
It's up and coming. I mean, the great quality, speed at finishing the work, and deadline to ship. Logistics are helping as well.
Okay, and then let's stick with the shirt. So I have a wonderful idea of a shirt, and would say, okay, I'd like to build it 5 pieces, for example, special fabric, special color, special cut. So guide me through the process. Do I have to download an app? Is it like more like an online form where I have to upload in my sketch? How does it work?
It's as simple as a form. There is an app. You download it, and it's an app that has a form, 3 steps. You communicate the design. If there's a sketch as well that you've added on the design, you add that. You add a description, and then you tell us some important information for us. When is it that you wanted? Because that's we'll have to communicate back to you to tell you if it's possible or not. What's your budget as well? Because we care for our customer segments. We know their mentality. And then we communicate back to you, tell you exactly, okay, this is the design that we can do, and this is the fabric that we suggest and recommend, and this is how much it's going to cost you. And then you receive a proposal. That's a request for proposal from your side, and we send you a proposal, and we say, oh, okay, this is feasible. I can receive it in 2 weeks at my doorstep. And then you sign, you pay up 50% of that amount. Of course, there's a money-back guarantee. And we sign within the proposal an NDA, your design, your shirt, your label. And we start production afterwards. Within the app, the order itself turns into a chat. They start asking us, where the hell is my shirt? What have you done? Did you source the fabric? This accessory is wrong. You want to take it back? No, please redo it, et cetera, et cetera. That's the kind of conversation that we have over our app.
And let's stick with the example with like the t-shirts, low 5 t-shirts, maybe like a little bit longer arms, like a different neck, a special color. So where would this end up, such from a pricing range perspective? Because if I go to the tailor in Milan or Paris, he wouldn't take an order below like 1,000 euros. So correct. It doesn't even make sense for him to think about it, like from his business perspective. So
I mean, obviously, there are 3 categories of pricing, and we have put an algorithm and a calculation on it. The first category is the sourcing. Depends on what, if you want 100% linen, cotton, silk, whatever. Secondly is the production, how much, what's the style. If it's a normal pattern, then obviously we have it. You just print, because it's digitized the pattern. We print it, we put it on the fabric, and we cut. But if it's something else, completely like Star Trek or Star Wars kind of costume, we'll have to do and create the pattern. That will be a bit more costly. The third category, which is the design, the production and the design itself. The design, if you want us to research more, add to it, do 3D images of it, because you want to put it as an SKU on your Amazon or Shopify, etc., we can help you in that as well. So there is a spectrum on every one of those categories, the sourcing, the production, and the design. So it can end up varying from $5 a t-shirt up to around $25.
Ah. And then going back to the fashion industry itself. So my understanding is that fast fashion is now disrupted by ultra-fast fashion, companies like Shein out of China, where you have like a huge competition between the factories. So there's like, I don't know, 500 factories doing t-shirts, and they want to sell. They need to acquire customers, and then those big platforms are feeding them with trends. And you know, tomorrow you have, because of the Barbie film, you have to create pink t-shirts and pink whatever, trousers and pink jackets, blah, blah, blah. And tomorrow it's a very different style. And this seems to me like, for me, because this is, these platforms are also reaching their customers in a very efficient way, that seems to me very disturbing for the Zaras and H&M, which was fast fashion, but now you have like real-time fashion. Like you have a trend, next day you have the product online, 10 days later you have it shipped. So is it somehow also disrupting your business model, or are your designers so specialized, so niche, so unique in their ideas? Because let's assume there's a good t-shirt idea from a designer, like a good print or like a good feature on a t-shirt. The Chinese competitor will see it on Amazon or on the Shopify app and say, ah, that seems to be something I also can produce. So I will put it on Temu like for 20% of the price. And this is disrupting like your customers' businesses. Is it something you see already, or is it our industry bubble's fear?
I mean, it's a race to the bottom. It started with fast fashion. Now it's extreme fast fashion. And the lead production is almost like 1 week since they actually hit the design rooms and they come up with Barbie kind of garments. And you see it in the market in 1 week. It's a different game altogether. We're on a different trend. We're trying to follow what the market is trying to ask for. I mean, they want to dress and dress nicely and elegantly, and they want to actually not spend a fortune on the garments, but they want also their customizing to happen and to take place on the. So we're following the trend of the what's being called right now the hyper customization, where we take with the customers. Order itself. I mean, it's not something that they see and then they react to and they say, okay, this is fine. Let's actually buy this. No, it's the other way around. That's the market we're following. People who are getting back to custom wear. I mean, the custom wear, it's said in our industry that it skips a generation. And here we are. Generation Z is wanting to do their own fashion. So we're very hopeful. And this is actually a safe bet. More than the fast fashion that is happening with Shein, because if Corona hits again, God forbids, or a war happens, God forbids, that distribution is done. Whereas with our model, it can thrive because we have a local tailor, and if we grow, I mean, right now it's 16 months in Maxi, and we're seeing great growth. In Germany, we can actually support you with a tailor from Germany, who is actually eager to receive so many different orders, even though small. And we do yield management quite effectively through our platform.
So Megacy is 16 months old, you say, or 16? Yes. 16 months. Yeah. And how big is it? How many orders do you ship, or like how big is it business?
I mean, a month we ship anywhere between 100 to 150 orders. On average, the orders are around $250. We're doing, we're increasing, and even corporations are approaching us right now, which is, and we've pivoted in that direction, trying to see what the procurement managers in big hotels and want to do differently than even the chains that are mandating on them, because everybody has their own designs and styles.
Ah, so you're talking about like corporate fashion or like corporate styles. Like if there's like the Ritz-Carlton here in Riyadh wants to have their own bed sheets, and obviously no other hotel, the Bahia Hotel, shouldn't have it.
Absolutely, and special events, uniforms for the hostesses, etc.
Ah, okay. And do you think that this kind of B2, because you're now on a cross section, right? You could focus more on like the very small designer running like his own Shopify store, or maybe like on the Amazon platform, or you could go more into like the B2B direction, which would help you. Okay, you're not producing then five shirts or five bed sheets. You're producing then always like 100, 200, 300, which obviously gives you like a better return per customer or revenue per customer. So what's your thoughts on that?
Both are very interesting markets and customer segments. I don't know where the path will take us, but so far it's been wonderful helping so many designers, you know, the journey from zero to one, of having their label, succeeding with that, having time to focus on the marketing and the label and the technology of fulfilling a payment, an order. So that has been very rewarding, a lot of nice stories. But the corporate world is also viable because, like you said, they have a tendency to do bigger in numbers. I'll share a story with a hotel who broke away with the from the chains regulations regarding the HR clothing, HR and maintenance clothing, because the maintenance were their shirts and their trousers. They were actually wearing out very quickly. So because we had the expertise, we had the resources, we sourced great fabric, we created a new style, and we fulfilled that. So that's very likable to happen and repeat across at least the region over here. Everybody in their own departments, they want to do something right now. They want to get it done immediately. They can't communicate with a tailor for so many different reasons, different cultures, different. You have to travel downtown. The tailors don't come to you. So we're fulfilling, we're trying to solve a problem there. And I see it multiplying as we go.
Where do you find your customers?
So far, the best place, because the fashion community is always, a bubble. They talk. So the word of mouth in Amman, Jordan, has been wonderful, as well as in Jeddah. Jeddah is a nice hub of in Saudi Arabia, and in Riyadh as well. So the word of mouth has been really helpful. One designer recommends us, and everybody starts talking about it. Sometimes they're influencers. They put a word out there. We had high-profile customers as well. We had our Royal Highness, our Queen, visiting our office as well, ordering and making her a couple of garments.
Jordan is also kingdom.
Yes, it is.
Okay. How many people living in Jordan?
10 million so far.
Oh, it's not that big. It's like the UAE.
Yes.
But it's a huge country.
It is. It's as big, I would say, as big as the UAE.
Okay.
No more.
Okay. But is there like a scalable online marketing channel where you could, I don't know, maybe there's like a Shopify marketplace where you could put ads on for designers using like Shopify or an Amazon? There might be like a marketplace or like a community where you could
another
post stuff.
Yeah. And another channel that has been very helpful, which is the catalog on WhatsApp. Using the Meta platform. What we've actually connected through API, we've created a very diverse catalog based on the patterns themselves. You mentioned t-shirts earlier. T-shirts, we have around 25, 30 patterns and styles, and all of them are sketched out. So when you see the sketch that is very close to what you have in mind, you can choose it on Amazon, WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that we get notified on it, and we start communicating directly with WhatsApp. WhatsApp is really wonderful, especially here in the Middle East. Direct connection with people. They want to know exactly how long it would take, if we can do it to begin with.
Where are your customers coming from? Mainly from Europe or from Asia? Asia, most likely not, right?
No. But France, Italy, we've had from the Netherlands, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, where we at.
And how do you prevent brand fraud? So I guess there's like smart designers trying to get a design from Gucci and say, okay, can you do this for me, please? Only 10 pieces.
We're looking into. We haven't done it yet. We're dependent completely on our in-house fashion designers who are receiving the designs, and they're running image searches to see if this is somebody out there who's done that. Especially, we want to protect all the local fashion designers. So if it clears out, because sometimes you can tell somebody snaps a screenshot from a local designer and they like, and they say, okay, can you do 10 of those? I want to fill up my retail shop. So we'll do a research. But down the line, I think we're going to do some machine learning to discern exactly where this image has come from and who owns the rights and if there's a label. And then we say, no, we can't continue.
And do you see also within this GCC a growing like fashion designer community? Is it something where, I don't know, young like students would say, okay, instead of going into the tech industry or retail industry, let's try out to become like a designer?
There's a thriving fashion community right now, especially the past 2 years, 3 years. If you're following the great work of the Fashion Commission under the Ministry of Culture.
Here in Saudi.
In Saudi Arabia. They're doing amazing. They're taking them on a roadshow all around across Europe. And they have created 100 brands, not created, they've actually gathered around and 100 up-and-coming fashion designers who are yani, very ambitious. They have a lot of energy. And I think out of those 100 brands, we'll see like leading 3-4 big labels very soon. So it's happened and it's happening and it's going to yani, grow rapidly.
What is your like? What is your upper limit when it comes to order? So I guess you cannot fulfill an order that could help H&M restocking their stores. Where would you say, okay, maybe that's too big for us to fulfill?
There's a sweet spot between, like you said, one piece up to around 250 pieces. That's where we specialize. Some people come and say, oh, we like you guys. We want to spend more. We like the communication. We like to be transparent and that you sign the NDA. We can take it further even. But normally we're a bit more expensive when it gets to 250 plus pieces.
It gets more expensive?
Yeah.
Why? Okay. Because in what I've learned in business studies, in economies of scale, should be getting cheaper.
In comparison, that's correct. But for the customer, when they compare us with a Bangladeshi workshop, they say, okay, no, you guys are very expensive. That's what I meant. They compare us with other workshops. They say, okay, make C is a bit more expensive. We're going to go with option B when it comes to big quantities. But I mean, the sweet spot that I'm talking about is where we like to be. There's a lot of experimenting in the designs, back and forth with the customer. We're at the end of the day, we're not a workshop as much as we're a fashion tech solution. We sell the communication between us and the communication capability between us and the customer. We try to make them be at ease at all levels because, you know, when you have a deadline with a t-shirt and you have to present it to your buyer, You rather be, you know, glued to your phone and your emails and finding out. So because of that, we are a little bit more expensive than a normal classical workshop.
And what is like your limit when it comes to complex products? Like say you have a very, very complex like winter garment thing with like super many like features on it. Would you say, okay, that's maybe something you should figure out directly with a workshop? Or
everything is doable. You can go as, I mean, you see the movies and how customs can yeah, go crazy. Everything is doable. It's engineering of garment pieces. And we have those engineers. They call them patent engineers. They look at it. They look at it from different angles. They go on the AutoCAD.
I can go to you and say, okay, I'd like this t-shirt, this style, this print should be waterproof. Find it out. And it should be like less than, I don't know, 100 gram per square meter. I don't know how you measure it, but like stuff like this. And then you have like a team that will go into some research database and see if this garment is available, if it can be sewed on different machines. So that's like part of that's part of the value proposition.
Absolutely. I mean, we will do the research. We have the sources. We know factory mills around Turkey, China. We ask them, do you have that? This is the characteristic that is needed. Can we treat it again? We come back to you with a report. Of course, this is a paid service.
How loyal are the customers? When they're like ordering 10 pieces for their own store, Amazon store or whatever, they come back?
There's a better word. They're happily dependent. They have this out of their system. They depend on us and they look at focusing on other things, and we have their back. So that creates very loyal customers because we're protecting them in every aspect of their business.
How big is the Megacity team?
We're 10 people right now.
And you said like it's an up and coming market, but still people can work for, are able to work for low salaries because cost of living, I guess, are not that high than in Jordan. So for a garment engineer, what is like a salary for a garment engineer in Jordan?
Oh, in the private sector, they would take around 750, 800 JDs, which is around $1,000.
A month. Including all costs. So that is what you have to pay them as an employer.
Yeah, I mean, that's the average salary in Jordan.
Okay.
Plus or minus. Yeah, I mean,
but with like $1,000 a month, what is your standard of living in Jordan? Do you have a car? Do you have a house?
It's high.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I mean, in Jordan, the economical situation is not that bright. It's recovering. There are lots of ambitious plans economically. Currently, I mean, it is challenging. So this is a luxury for many. If we're talking about the mass market, the customers who want to actually create custom wear all the time for all the equations, it wouldn't be that feasible. But at the same time, the B2B side of it, the designers themselves, they want it for the same reason. They want to sell. They want to make business. So they want to depend on people who are dependable and know what they're doing and designing right and manufacturing on time. And that's exactly what we supply them. And we hand it over to them, and then they margin up and they sell it online, Instagram, Shopify.
And if we were to have this podcast again like next year, where do you believe Megacy stands? Employer-wise, revenue-wise, expansion-wise?
I'll be very happy to be getting into the Saudi market, establishing our name, establishing the positioning that I've described today, to be relevant to as many fashion designers who are having headaches and heartaches regarding their collections and fulfilling them. I want to be able to help at least 100 brands.
Where does fashion end? So could you do like a backpack, for example? Is it also fashion?
Yeah, but it's just a matter of choice. We don't want to do bags. We don't want to do leather. We don't want to do shoes.
So leather is like a different industry, more or less?
Yeah.
Why? Because it's like kind of a garment.
It is, but it has its own people. And to create a piece with leather, the sewing is different. The machines are different.
Mm.
The whole supply chain is different.
You cannot print on it in most
cases.
Can.
There are like as well soles and things that it's not in my experience. Maybe one day I will we'll get to that.
And then maybe some like regional questions. So it's our second time here in Riyadh. Obviously, it's an interesting market. It's kind of booming. What do you think about the regions in the next 5 to 10 years? Saudi's role in the region, Riyadh, Jeddah, Dhanam. So where is it going? Does it really feel like it's booming?
It certainly does. And all over the news in all different categories, especially economically, it's very aspiring. And what's happening on the ground is even more motivating for everybody to at least visit and come and see. So, I mean, Saudi Arabia is around 36 million people. The GCC altogether is around 50 million. The fashion industry.
But Jordan and Oman are not part of the GCC, right?
Jordan is not. Yeah. Oman is considered in the GCC.
That is considered in the,
yes.
In the 50 million.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't know that.
So, yeah. So basically, the fashion industry, I mean, the consumption of fashion is around $32 billion a year.
Just in this region.
Just in this region. It's considered huge. And that's, I mean, if you consider, and there are like some reports that say around 10% of that is for the custom wear. That's where the market that we're working on. People who like to do their own garments. So I'm very ambitious to see how we grow into that 10% to tailor make things for the GCC customers.
Very cool. So definitely looking forward like to the next interview, to the next dinner. So Jordan was not on the map yet, but maybe in the future we can do something there too.
You're more than welcome. It's a great country.
Said, thank you.